This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're in Clearwater on an off day here at Bay Care Ballpark with Trey Turner. Thanks for making the time for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yep. So it's funny, we're watching you guys work out a little bit on the field. And it's funny to go from, you know, we just got through Eagle season, and we watch Eagles training camp, which is almost like military. And then you watch baseball spring training, and the seasons are just way different. Have you ever, I was thinking about what it would be like if baseball had a 17-game season.
Yeah. I was going to say, we play every day. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean.
You have to pace yourself.
Not that they're not important. Obviously, they're all important. But, yeah, it's different mindset. I think, too, from that, you know, watching football the last couple of years, that switch you have to turn on for game day, you know, you got to get ready to go out there and lay everything on the line. And, you know, we're competing just at the same height, but at the physical aspect's a little different. So, you know, I think that's the main difference I've seen, is just how we compete is so different. And I think that's what makes the sports beautiful.
Yeah. How is it? Like, it's really interesting to me to make every game important, but also know that you have to play again tomorrow and try to find that balance in between treating every game as if it's important but almost not too important.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I think don't get too high, don't get too low. For me, I feel like I try to work hard, try to put in the right prep and be consistent in that aspect, and then just play the game. And knowing you're not going to be perfect, you're going to have some bad days and whatnot, but over a course of a season, all that work you put in each and every day, you'll probably come out ahead if you're doing those right things. And, you know, that's where I'm at. And I think that's where a lot of us are. Is I think we got a lot of veterans and a lot of professionals that we work hard, we do our work, and then we have fun when we can. But, you know, first and foremost, we're working.
So I know you guys were former teammates, right? You and Max Scherzer.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a part of you that was a little nervous about hitting with the challenge the other day?
No. I was just messing with him. I know he hates it, so I was hoping he threw the first pitch right down the middle, and I was going to challenge it regardless, just to mess with him. And I think he's a little confused. He laughed it off. So, you know, for me, the ABS is pretty cool, but it's hard to focus on for me personally when I know we're not going to have it in the season. So it's like, you know, why do I even challenge her? If I get, you know, screwed on a call in the middle of the season, it's not like I can fix it. So, why practice any other way, in my opinion?
I thought it was a great moment between a couple of friends, gamesmanship. But the idea of baseball changing things. So, you know, I know it's a little test run this year, but they've made some changes over the last couple of years that I know I was hesitant and reluctant to buy into, but it seemingly has made the game a little more enjoyable, at least for the fans. I'm wondering, from a player's perspective, do you like some of the things that they have done to sort of make the game, I guess, a little more update, a little more fan-friendly?
Yeah, for sure.
From a viewership standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, for me, nobody wants to stand out there for 4 or 5 hours and just watch a slow game. We want to play, too. And I understand there's an art to that in baseball and there's strategy and all that. But at first, I wasn't for the pitch clock. And then now, you know, having it implemented in and seeing how we've adjusted, I think it would be weird to go back, you know. So there's a right way to do everything. And I think you just got to think about it. You got to discuss it with players and ownership and MLB and just do it right. You know, I think we've proven we're open to certain things. But at the same time, we want to be able to perform at you know, our highest abilities, and we want to play the same game we did, you know, as a kid for the most part, and it's just a little adjustment period.
I think you have to give the league and the players credit, too, for being open to that change, too, especially because baseball, I think more than any other sport, is steeped in its, we do it this way, you know, it's tradition, which is good, I think is good, but I agree with Ike, I think the changes have been good so far.
I mean, sometimes we don't have a choice, you know, I don't want to say we're all for everything, but we got to adjust, and some of the things we're not super happy about, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, the other team has to deal with the same thing, so it's, you know, how can you strategize and use those to your advantage or their disadvantage and different things like that. So like I said, we're always competing, we love it, that's why we're here, is to compete and try to win, and sometimes there's little obstacles here or there, but we've adjusted, and I think it's, you know, it's been for the better for the most part.
I know you said the birth of your third child. Mm-hmm. Me, dad guy as well.
Nice.
Do professional athletes get dad brain? Like, because I feel like an idiot since I had my
man
2 months. Like, are you tired?
Well, I have done nothing because my family's not with me, so I feel really bad for my wife. She's got
it's actually just like Jack.
Three, she's got three by herself right now at home, so I feel bad for her. I know she's grinding over there, but you know, my kids are good. They're good kids, and they're definitely high energy and crazy. But the oldest one does well in school, and the youngest one's starting to learn too. So it's been fun watching them grow, and we'll be done at three. Three's a lot. But I'm excited to see them. They're coming over soon, and I'm excited to see them. I haven't seen them in a while.
It's a WIP afternoon show in Clearwater with Trey Turner. So when you came here last year, and we spoke to you and spoke to a couple of other players, it seemed like the mission for everybody was, hey, let's get off to a great start. Let's win the division, which you did, which you achieved, but then didn't achieve, you know, ultimately playoff-wise. Is there anything that you learned from how you prepared last year, how last season went, and that you're taking into this year and the preparation for this season?
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously, I think the, you know, I want to speak for players. I think we know, like, whoever plays well at the end of the year has got a good chance to win the World Series. So playing well in June, July, and earlier months, it's great because you want to win that division, but it's hard to play really good baseball for 8 straight months. Everyone's going to go through a little spell of bad baseball and different things and injuries and whatnot, and we had some of those things, and it just didn't seem like at the end we could pull ourselves out of it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Where in years past we were peaking, you know, at the end of the season. So it's hard to be like, we need to win this game right now, and it's, you know, April 20th, and then knowing we want to play on November 1st. You know, it's hard to do. It's hard to see the big picture and the small picture at the same time. I like to keep it one day at a time. I like to focus on today. I want to have fun today. I want to work hard today, try to get better, try to win at whatever that means, and then we'll move on to tomorrow. So I think that one day at a time kind of deal, is as boring as it is, I think that's the only way to play baseball for a long season, be pretty good, try to win a division, try to get home field advantage, and then also play deep into the postseason. And you know, it's hard too. I think it's understated. Like, everyone at the end of the year is playing good baseball. They didn't get there by accident. So I think we're more than capable of beat anybody, but we got to do it. And, you know, last year we fell short.
Is this more to say, because, like, fans in here, this, and they're like, hold on, what do you mean? The beginning of the season doesn't matter as much, so they may interpret it the wrong way. You go out there and try to win every game.
Without a doubt.
The results may not be what you want, and so you don't necessarily allow early results to get you down if they aren't exactly what you want.
I mean more of your reaction, right?
Yes.
Like, you lose a game in – you know, April, you're like, all right, we'll get them tomorrow. You know, I didn't want to lose. Obviously, we tried everything we could to win the game, but it's how you react to that loss. Whereas you lose a game in September and you need that win, it's more devastating. So as you go on, obviously, the way the games feel more for us as players and probably staff and managers and whatnot. Yeah. So that's what I mean. I mean, we are trying to win every single game. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. Every game is very important. It's just how you react to them early on. You're like, all right, we'll get them tomorrow. But, you know, if you do that too much, you kind of dig yourself that hole, you know?
Sure.
So there's a balance to everything. And I think that's why the veteran presence is big to know, you know, you can weather storms. You know, losing a game here or there is all right. Did we learn something? What can we do better? And then build on that.
So the big story seemingly out of camp so far is you possibly going back to the leadoff spot and being this team's leadoff hitter. You know, is that something that excites you? And do you think it can take your game even to another level getting back to that spot?
Yeah, I haven't done it in a long time. Last time I done it was 2019. Had a good year for me. I think I said this before, and we all say it, and we'll hit wherever Rob wants us to, and wherever the coaching staff wants us to. We'll hit wherever because we want to win. We don't care. If that is leadoff, it's 2, 3. I hit 8, a couple years ago. Hopefully that doesn't happen again. But yeah, we'll hit wherever. And that does excite me in the sense of maybe I can run a little more, score some more runs. The last couple of years, I'm trying to, drive the ball a little bit more. And not that I won't do that if I do lead off, but that getting on first with no one in front of me type deal to lead off a game, I think can put a lot of pressure on the other team. And maybe we can have some big innings early on, maybe not bigger, but big innings early on and kind of get downhill early on. So I'm excited if it happens. I'll be excited if I hit wherever, though. I'm just excited to be back and I love the game, love playing. And I think we've got a good squad.
Is there pressure to try to see more pitches when you're hitting leadoff?
I think there's a little bit to it. I wouldn't say pressure, but I think you're definitely a little more selective just by trade. You're probably taking the first pitch of the game. Obviously, guys like Kyle, and I've even done in the past where you swing at that first pitch because it's a really good one to hit. But, you're kind of taking the first pitch of the game, and, I think that helps you get into the at-bat a little bit more, see a few more pitches and get your timing down. So I wouldn't call it pressure, but I think there's some strategy to it for sure.
Last year, you were going great. You had the hamstring injury, and I think you even mentioned this, but you could actually see that you were hesitant to go full when the hamstring injury happened. And that's an injury that is tough because it can feel normal, and then all of a sudden you tweak it and it's gone. Mm-hmm. How do you mentally eventually get past that worry and past like feeling a twinge and thinking it's there?
Yeah,
again?
Exactly. I mean, you kind of said it's like every little thing. You're like, oh no, is it again? And I think it's just a day by day thing where you push a little more, you push a little more. You're trying to be smart about it, but you're also playing in a Major League Baseball game. It's like you got to be prepared to play. So I always felt like I could play at 80-90% speed. If I had to slow down, I always felt like I could really impact the game still. I could hit, play some defense, do different things, even run the bases smart and make some good decisions. So I always felt like I could play a little lower, but each day that goes by, you're like, oh, I ran that one out. And I think we have so much technology now, you can see how fast I was actually running. So I was like, oh, I was running, pretty much my normal speed, so I shouldn't worry. And it just comes with confidence, but that's with anybody. That's a pitcher with an arm injury. That's anybody dealing with anything. You gotta build back that confidence a little bit, and it took me a little while. But, now we're passing. It's good to go.
You and Bryce both have a bunch of years left on your contract, but a lot of the vets don't, right?
Yep.
Up at the end of this year, up at the end of next year. You guys have had some good runs but haven't gotten it done. Overall, do you ever think about, hey, if we don't go deep, this could be the last time that these guys are here together?
Nope, never. I've never thought about that. I just heard that a day or two ago for the first time.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think we got a great group of guys. We got some young players that are still around. I trust, John and Dave to keep adding pieces when we need them. I mean, we just traded for Lizardo, Wheeler and Nola. I mean, we got so many good players. There's no reason to not think we can win for a long time, and that's my look at it. I mean, in Washington, we tried to win for a long, long time. I mean, teams can do it. It may not always be the same faces. I hope it is because I love all the guys here. But for me, it's I don't even worry about stuff like that. It's not my job. I want to win, and whoever we got, wearing this uniform, I think we're excited about, and we want to, accept and come together and be a baseball team. So thought never crosses my mind.
I'm wondering for yourself, third year here with the organization. First year didn't get off to the start that you wanted it to get off to. I thought last year you looked like the Trey Turner as advertised before your injury. I'm wondering how much – post-injury did contribute to sort of some of your tell-off and where you were in the first half, and can we expect to see that Trey Turner we saw the first half of last year this year with you?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I think since I've been here, I've played really, really well and pretty bad to my standard. So it's kind of raising that floor, you know. I think the good times are going to be there. So now when it's going bad, can I – you know, turn that 0-for-10 into a 2-for-10, or, you know, those things, or can I make a couple more plays here or there? And I think that's very easy to do, or very easy to, you know, ask of me, which I've done in the past, and put together a complete season. I like playing every day. I like the challenge, so, you know, I'm excited for it, but I feel like it's a lot of talking always, and it's, yeah, you know, it's I'm over the talking, over all that. So
I understand. We understand it. Yep.
Just play good baseball and win, and have some fun, and see where it takes us.
All right, Trey. Three quick ones before we let you go. They're quick. First one: city you most look forward to visiting during the season, and the one that you least look forward to visiting during the season.
man, I think it depends on the year, but. I don't know. I like going to new places. So, I mean, I always say San Diego's fun to go to just because it's good city, good food, good weather, good park, all that stuff. Yeah. So that one's easy. But it was interesting going to Seattle last year, or fun going to Seattle. Never been there, first time in my career. So that was kind of a cool bucket list there. And then worst.
You want me to just let you off the hook on that one?
I don't know. I got. I
don't say Cincinnati.
Just say Cincinnati.
Don't say Cincinnati.
I only want to say Cincinnati because Kyle will have a meltdown if you say this. Kyle will lose his mind. So that's a fun one for me. But no, I mean, I think it's hard to pick a bad city in the major leagues. You know, you're living the life. But
well, Cleveland's pretty bad. So
yeah, I was gonna say
I'm an Ohio kid.
Food,
so yes.
Yeah, bad food. It's hard to beat, or a bad hotel. Sometimes, like when you go to a bad hotel, you're like, this is no fun.
And you'll be there for 3 days.
So I mean, we're spoiled. So I mean,
do you read your social media mentions?
No, I don't. I don't do anything.
And then finally, rank the following Starburst colors from best to worst: red, yellow, pink, orange.
Best to worst.
Best to worst.
I'm gonna go pink, obviously. I'm gonna go red. And then I might be on the minority on this because I do like orange, but I'm going to go yellow, then orange.
I think that's pretty standard.
That's pretty standard.
Is it?
Right. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I feel like people hate yellow, so I don't know.
I have pink last.
Really?
No.
You're definitely in the
minority. I go red, yellow, orange, pink. Yeah.
That's I'm good. A pink first.
Pink is.
Yes.
All right, Trey. Well, we appreciate your time,
you,
man. Good luck. We're excited for Phillies baseball to be back.
So the biggest controversial thing there is the Starburst thing, is the pink versus red.
Yeah,
so,
strawberry.
Yeah. You have strawberry one as well.
Well, everybody pink's bad. Pink's the worst one.
Yeah, see, I have pink as the worst one
totally
as well.
Disagree.
Yeah, I have cherry one. Red one?
Okay, cherry, I mean, I can compromise with cherry.
Okay.
Yeah.
But when I tell people I have orange over pink, that's when there's a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So, big news. Thank you, Trey Turner, for joining us today. The big news in the Eagles world, as reported by Eagles Insider of the Year frontrunner Adam Schefter.
Yep.
Jeez, he's on a heater.
He is on a heater. Yep, he is on a heater. And we'll find out if the WIP's lone candidate, Eagles Insider of the Year, gets any credit for this. But the Eagles have re-signed Zach Bond to a 3-year contract. It is $51 million, 3 years, $51 million, and $34 million of it guaranteed. Ike, what is your first response on the Eagles re-signing Zach Bond?
Oh, good job, Howie Roseman. Getting it done. We all pretty much felt this was the number one priority in free agency, or should be the number one priority in free agency for the Eagles, and they get it done. You know, didn't know exactly what the Eagles were willing to do to pay a linebacker based on in the past, but I got to be honest with you. It's been a while since a linebacker has played at this level, you know, so there is really no comp for the Eagles to make. When you look at the last 20 years of linebacker play.
I keep bringing up T.J. Edwards and Nigel Bradham, and they were both good, but they did not play the way that Zach Bond. They weren't
a defensive player of the year candidate.
Right. They weren't first-team all-pro.
All-pro, yeah.
Right.
So, you know, kudos to the Eagles and Howie Roseman for getting this job done, understanding his value to the team. And there is a little bit of risk there of whether or not it's a one-year wonder. But you know what? The Eagles feel good about Zach Bond. They know him as far as he's been in the building for a year. They know his work habits. They know his study habits. They know how impactful he is as a leader on this team, what he means to Vic Fangio, and what they want to do defensively. And so they got out of their comfort zone, at least from based on their history. And this is probably the most money they've given a linebacker who's not a outside pass rusher, right? Like this is the most money they've given a linebacker.
Yeah, I can't think of even what's it called? Even like in context, I can't think of a contract this big, you know, for a linebacker. What do you think of the Zach Bond deal? 215-592-9494. I mean. It's hard not to be positive about it, right? I mean, and you're saying, you know, the one-year wonder. I don't know how you could be a one-year wonder at that position playing as much as he did, right? I think you could look at a player that is situational, that performed well in a situational setting, and say, I don't know if he could play, if that's a three-down player, if they can play 85, 90% of the snaps when they're only playing 40. I get that. But I don't think as much as Zach Bond played, as much as responsibility as he had, and the key, and you mentioned Vic Fangio, with Fangio being here, and Fangio, it happening in Fangio's system, which you imagine is going to stay the same next year.
Yeah.
I can't imagine him not being good again unless there were injury issues or he doesn't have the mental makeup that you would think he would after he got paid, you know, all of those things. It seems like a low risk signing to me.
Yeah, well, injuries are always a risk.
Yep.
The mental makeup I'm not concerned with, but now you're not getting twice the bang for your buck as you did in 2024.
Right.
Now you're paying $12.5-13 million a year, so you got to play to that level of $13 million a year.
Right, you're not a surprise.
And that's what I mean by the 1 year thing. It's not easy being that player every year.
Well, and I've said this before, but like a general manager's job is to get more value than you spend. The teams that end up winning, because you know everybody spends about the same amount of money. The team that wins gets more for what they spend. Well, you get an AP Defensive Player of the Year candidate for 1 year contract for whatever he signed, $7 million, $5 million.
I think it was three.
I think it was like two and a half.
Oh, it was Devin White that was the $4 or $5 million one, right? That is great value. To your point, $12 or $13 million a year, you have to be that. I don't know if you have to be the Defensive Player of the Year again, but you have to be a Pro Bowl level linebacker and the quarterback of the defense, which is what he was all of last year. And he's probably going to have to do it without N'Kobe Dean for a significant portion of the season as N'Kobe Dean recovers from that injury. So that gives even more responsibility to what Zach Bond has to do. So.
Yeah, and like I said, I think it's a great move for the Eagles. Like I said, it's a little out of what we're accustomed to watch them do. But just like they rewarded Saquon Barkley and what they went for what he did, and even before last year, even signing him as a free agent, you know, this is 2 years in a row where the Eagles – have said this isn't the Eagles of past, right? This is about paying a player based on his production, based on the talent that he has, regardless of the position.
Yep.
And they paid two positions that they didn't used to pay that type of money.
That is crazy. That I just thought bring that up. That the money we just saw over the last 24 hours, the Eagles handed out, and it is how much guaranteed to Bond?
34.
So $34 million guaranteed to Bond, $36 million guaranteed to Saquon Barkley. Over the last 2 days, the Eagles have committed $70 million to a running back, a 28-year-old running back, and a 27-year-old linebacker.
Yeah.
Two positions they don't usually spend on.
It's growth. Just pay and keep good football players.
Is it growth or is it a mistake?
Well, it could be a mistake.
Yeah.
It could be a mistake. But it's Like, I think they let some good football players go in the past because it didn't fit their organizational philosophy.
Right, right. Philosophy, yeah.
Like the one they used to have with age, you
the
know.
The age
right.
thing, the positions yeah. they don't pay. Yeah. And now it's like, hey, breaking news.
Yeah. Ike, what do you think? You want to strap on the pads again? You see 31
man, I wish
million
I could,
guaranteed?
Man. Yeah. I wish I could. I wish I'd go out there and just get injured right now.
Yep. Yeah. Wouldn't have to sit here with these two idiots. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Should we give Elliott Shore Parks Insider of the Year credit for saying the Eagles will get the bond deal done before free agency? What do you think the result is on that, Ike? Yes or no?
How do people feel about Elliott with this? I would give it to him. I would give him the credit. But I wonder, I'd say yeah. I'd say yeah, and let's go 57%.
52.7% say no, he does not get credit for
what
it.
What could we put out that people would be pro Elliott on?
Oh.
It's not right. It's not right.
Well, yeah. His Embiid cooked and Paul George cooked thing.
Yeah, but that's more anti you. I'm talking strictly just Elliott.
Well, speaking of Elliott, we will bring Elliott Shore Parks on next to discuss whether he gets Insider of the Year credit. And we do have the new power rankings coming out at 4:30 today, just before Preston Mattingly. We should make him sit there and watch us talk about the Eagles Insider of the Year. But we will talk to Elliott about the extension, what it means for the Eagles cap for next year, and what it means for the moves going forward. Next, your reaction, the Eagles re-sign Zach Bond to a 3-year, $51 million contract. In the last 2 days, the Eagles have committed $70 million to a running back and a linebacker. Is this the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do? 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.